Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Simon Morsink. He is the new executive director of the Museum of Russian Icons here in Clinton, Massachusetts. Simon, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you for the first time.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And I want to welcome you to Central Massachusetts. You're going to be the new executive director of the Museum of Russian Icons, and it's going to be a thrill to have you here in Central Mass.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, well, I'm still in Amsterdam.
I know.
Unfortunately, it would have been great that I would have already been with you in Massachusetts, but unfortunately, due to very slow procedures of the American Immigration Services.
Oh God!
I will have to wait a few more weeks. Yes, yes. The end of this is September.
End of September.
Then hopefully I will be with you.
Now I want to talk to you about where you work previous to this at the Morsink Icon Gallery in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
That was founded by your father. That was in existence for 30 years?
Yes, my father founded the gallery in the 1970s, and he specialized in Russian icons. He was totally fascinated by Russian icons at that time. And when we were young, my brother and I, my father discussed almost every icon that he purchased with us. You know,
wow! So you went with him when he checked it out?
Well, at the kitchen table. You know, when he had purchased something interesting and special, he invited us to sit down at the kitchen table and to have a close look.
Wow! Wow! What a way to grow up.
The inscriptions, the backside. That was very exciting for us at that time. We felt like. Like little treasure hunters, and he told us to look really close and to scrutinize the paint layers that was fascinating, and
so it was almost you were destined to be also become interested in icons.
yes. Well, the thing is, it was my brother and me, Hugo and me. We took over the gallery some 30 years ago.
Wow!
And we were together for more than 30 years, being art dealers in Amsterdam. Yep, that was great fun.
Did your father ever talk about how he got interested in icons?
You know, it was a time in the 70s. There was a little bit more openness. There were more relationships with Russia. People got interested in that time. At that time, in Russian culture, architecture, art, and my father was I don't know exactly how he found his way in the 70s. He was a dealer in general antiques in the 70s.
Okay.
So he was an antique dealer already, and but he became totally fascinated by the world of icons, and he bought I think 20 or 30 of them, and then he thought, that's pretty expensive just buying them. I have to do something with this, and then he realized that he was so passionate about it that he specialized in just icons, and he thought, this will be my life, and I will work with icons for the rest of my life.
Wow!
And that is what he did. Yeah.
Now, was he a deeply religious person? So that he found
no, he was religious. He was religious. But
he wasn't. He wasn't Russian Orthodox or Greek Orthodox.
No. He was a Catholic from the Netherlands, so no connections whatsoever. But he was intrigued. I think by the spirituality of
absolutely
of this art of icons. And icons are a very very special art form. And he just liked it. He just got interested.
Was he also interested in the colors,
the beauty?
Yeah.
It was the art, I think. Yeah.
Was he also interested in Byzantine art in general?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Now you have a strong interest in Byzantine art too, correct?
Yes, of course. Yeah, sure.
That's a fascinating art period.
It is. Byzantine art is totally fascinating. You know, the only thing is that being an art dealer, Byzantine art is almost impossible to find and to purchase.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, so it's very very difficult to specialize in Byzantine art and to buy and sell it. Simple as that. So Russian icons at that time were very popular, and they were much cheaper. It's just what it is. And there was an abundance of material. So he saw great opportunities, and he started working with this art he loved so much.
Now, icons are so, and I've done several interviews with people from who are exhibiting at the Museum of Russian Icons. They're such a unique art form because, unlike a lot of other art, it's art that is also an object of worship. And so displaying art in a museum setting is fraught with all sorts of subtleties and difficulties. Can you address that?
I do not see it that way. You know, the museum in Clinton is an art museum. And of course, it is a museum for religious art. But there are many, you know, most art in the world that has been made is religious.
Mm-hmm.
All the art from Europe, let's say, most of it up to the 15th century was or is religious art. Egyptian art is religious art.
That's right.
Essentially.
That's right.
No, I do not see that as a problem. And of course, we have to be very respectful towards every single religious art object. But, you know, I think it's important for us to realize that, and for the public as well, that we are an art museum, and that religion is not really involved in an art museum. That's how I see it, at least.
Now, 15th century, you've described as the golden age of Russian icons. Can you tell me why the 15th century?
Yes, the 15th century is the pinnacle of Russian icon painting. This is the age of the famous painter Andrei Rublev. You maybe have heard about
him. Yep.
He painted the Trinity icon, the fantastic icon, with the three angels sitting around a table, which was painted for the Trinity Monastery in Sergiev Posad. It's near Moscow. And, well, I think that this is the most famous Russian icon that we know. It is of such beauty and of such deep spiritual meaning, not only for Orthodox people, especially, of course, for Orthodox people, but also for whole Christianity, that, this is really something quite extraordinary. And in the 15th century, there were more important painters, like Dionysi, who lived at the end of the 15th century and had a workshop together with his sons. So there were many brilliant icon painters active in the 15th century. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because that's also the time of the Renaissance in Europe.
Yes,
but it had no effect on the way that did it have any effect on the way that icons were painted or created?
You know, there was one major event that had an enormous effect on icon painting in the 15th century in Russia, and that was the fall of Constantinople in 1453.
Oh, I can imagine, right?
That was an event that was much more important than the everything that happened in Western Europe. After the fall of Constantinople in 1543, Moscow saw itself as the third and eternal Rome.
Huh.
So some important painters traveled to Moscow and started working there. It was of great influence to Russian icon painting at that time. Not only icon painting, but also architecture and other art forms. So the 15th century is for Russian icons. It's the best there is.
Wow!
But do not forget about the 16th and the 17th century. There were so many schools and you know you had the Stroganov family at the end of the 16th and the early 17th century. There was the flowering of the of business, so to say, in the Volga region in the 17th century with spectacular fresco painting in churches and icon painting.
Wow.
There is this in the 18th century the all new movements in the 19th century, the highly refined Palek painting, which is incredible miniature painting. There were the more realistic styles towards the end of the 19th century. And, you know, there is so much to discover in Russian icon painting. It is really an incredibly rich tradition.
Are there still artists today, contemporary, who are working in the tradition of Russian icons in Russia?
Oh, sure. Yes, many. There are many. You know, icon painting is very popular nowadays. There are many icon painters, also very good ones, brilliant painters who are working in Russia now and in the United States as well. Oh, sure. But this is a different thing. These icons are religious objects. They are being used by the Orthodox people for private devotion and in churches. So they serve another goal than the icons that we have in the galleries in the museum in Clinton.
Well, could you elaborate on that? What was the goal of the original icons, or the icons of the 15th, 16th?
They're exactly the same.
Okay.
Exactly the same, of course. Yeah, sure. You know, icons were every Orthodox believer used to have and still has his private icons at home. He was surrounded by icons during his travels at home in the beautiful, so-called beautiful Red Corner, and of course in the churches as well. So this is the function that icons have that is very important and you know but as a museum we are not a church, we are a museum, which is a different thing.
Can you talk to me about the tradition of Greek icons? That's something I'm less familiar with.
Icons are
were they about the same time period? I mean, was the 15th century a golden age for Greek icon making too, or not?
Oh sure. You have the Byzantine world, the Byzantine icons from the 14th and 15th century are something really spectacular. They are amazing. And then what happened after the fall of Constantinople in 1453, the most important icon painters fled to Crete. And what you see then that in the second half of the 15th century and in the 16th century, there is a great flowering of the art of icon painting on the island of Crete that was occupied at that time by the Phoenicians. So it is a very interesting period when you see all this cross culture. Paintings, the influences from Phoenician Western painters on Orthodox icon art and vice versa. So this is also a highly fascinating period. This 15th and 16th century icon painting in especially on the island of Crete, which was the center for icon painting at that time.
Why Crete? Like, what was it about Crete? Was that a place where
they
just
occupied by the Phoenicians? You know, it was already an important center.
Yeah.
because it's the island is well in the center of the Mediterranean Sea. It had a very central has a very central location, and it was very important for business. So it was occupied by the Phoenicians, the Catholics, and there was a large and important Orthodox community at that time. They served, they exported, they painted icons at that time in the 15th and 16th century for Catholics as well as for Orthodox people. So they were able to paint alla Latina and alla Greca. So which meant that they were able to paint in the Western style and in the Orthodox style, which is really great. So
that's amazing. Yeah,
that is fantastic. Yeah, it is. It is incredible that you had painters. You know, we know some painters who worked in these two very very different styles and for two separate publics. For Catholic patrons and Orthodox patrons at the same time. Yeah.
What a fascinating story.
It is highly interesting. But as I said before, this whole world is incredibly interesting, and it spans over almost 2,000 years.
Wow. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Simon Morsink, now the new executive director of the Museum of Russian Icons here in Clinton, Massachusetts. He's still in Amsterdam. He'll be over here by the end of September. Simon, one of the...
Hope so.
I hope so, too. I'm sure the museum hopes so, too. One of the challenges is, of course, the fact that it's Russia. That seems to be a challenge for an art museum too, as well as for a dealer. Can you address that? I mean, that seems to have been a big deal for you as an art dealer too. It must have been more difficult to get Russian icons.
Yes, of course. This this war is a total tragedy, of course, for the Ukrainian people, especially for the Ukrainian people, but also, as I see it, for the Russian people.
Oh yeah,
and it's incredible how after 30 years of building, so much relationships and friendships and businesses and that more or less with one big bang, this all has come to an end.
The Morsink Icon Gallery is closed, isn't it?
Yes, we've closed our gallery. It was, the thing is that it is not possible anymore for us to sell to Russia, to our Russian clients in Russia, which has been the main business for us over the past, let's say, 10 years.
Wow.
So, that made things very complicated, I have to say. And for the museum, it is not a question, of course. The museum for Russian icons, which has the largest collection of Russian icons in the U.S., it has a great collection. And I would say to all your listeners, come over and see this museum, because it's a great museum. It's a fantastic place. But of course, we have to address this. The museum has been talking about this already for a longer time before the war. What to do? I mean, this we've discussed this already, but this whole world of Orthodox art is incredibly interesting. It's a very big world.
Yeah.
There are many different Orthodox cultures. You have the of course, the Greek Orthodox Church. You have the Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Huh.
They all have icons.
Is there a chance that these could be then exhibited at the museum here?
I think so, yes.
I would love to see that.
I think that we as a museum should expand into these areas and that we should start showing all these different Orthodox
cultures. Yes, yes, yes.
These are very old, very interesting and very old cultures. For example, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church goes back to the 4th century, it is an incredibly important culture as well. And I think for us, the future of the museum lies in presenting, diversifying our collections and our exhibitions, and presenting all these different Orthodox cultures to the American public.
I think that's exciting. I think that's an exciting idea.
I think so too. I agree with you. Yeah, I think, and there is no museum yet in the United States which can present all these different cultures in the way that we I think will be able to do that. There are no guarantees for success with these new ideas, but I think that we should develop the museum along these lines.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Now, I've got so many questions I can ask you, but I'm going to wait till you get here to ask most of them. But I want to ask you, are there special conservation issues about traditional Russian icons that are particular to the icons that maybe other art doesn't have to face? Because you have to worry about that. Anything that's going to be a several hundred years old is going to have special conservation issues. And what about Russian icons?
With Russian icons, it's not that different compared to other works of art painted on wood. You know, it's the wood. There's the panel, of course, and the wood is a natural thing, and it always, how to say in English, it always works. So it's always moving. You know?
Oh, it is. That's one of the questions. Is they're expanding and they. There's all sorts of things that happen to the painted image that's on top of them.
Yeah, exactly. So this is something that we have to keep an eye on constantly. But there's not a big difference paintings painted on Western paintings, painted on panel, on oak panel, on sculptures, medieval sculptures with polychromy. So it's more or less the same thing. Yeah.
Now
you've
been an art dealer for a long period of time. Are you ready to be a museum director? That's a whole other set of issues that you need to face. I don't envy you that, Simon.
I can tell you, Mark, I am already, but of course I'm very much looking forward to be in the museum.
Yep.
And I have lived a fantastic life as an art dealer. I've enjoyed that a lot. And that is especially because I have worked with fantastic works of art, with very, very beautiful icons. But above all, I've met very interesting people. I really loved working with the collectors, my clients. The thing is now that, and I'm ready for that, I will serve a much larger audience.
That's what I mean.
And
you're dealing with the general public now.
The general public, and that is what it feels more or less natural. What I will do from this month on, as I am the new director of the Museum for Russian Art in Clinton, that I will use all my experience and everything that I've learned, everything that I know, for a much larger audience. And I think that's more or less, a natural thing. And I am ready for that. Yeah. And what I also will do, the clients and all my relations, the people I know, I will, these many of these people are my friends, and I will take them with me, not in a literal sense, but I will take them with me to the museum.
That's good.
And I think that is great. And I'm sure that they will love to go to the museum and see and visit it, and that they are very much interested as well in the future of this museum. Yeah, what can be achieved?
Now, just before we sign off, I know that I read an interview with you that you're going to miss walking along the canals of Amsterdam.
Sure.
Which I've been to Amsterdam. I totally understand that. But you know, you do have the Wachusett Reservoir right next to the Museum of Russian Icons. And if you like to walk and jog, it's a great place to walk and jog. I was just there yesterday. It's an incredible place to walk and jog.
Thank you, Mark, for this suggestion. Yeah. It is all new to me. So, and it must be wonderful. A completely different experience.
It's going to be different.
Yeah, sure. But again, I'm looking forward to that.
We also have a canal.
But I love Amsterdam. I love Amsterdam.
How can you not love Amsterdam? Amsterdam is one of the great cities of the world.
Yeah, and a village at the same time.
I know.
What is so beautiful.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I was there. It's such a magical place. I love Holland. I mean, Netherlands is just absolutely amazing. But we do have a canal here. It goes from Worcester down to Providence, and it's been restored. So there's a pathway all the way from Worcester down to Providence, Rhode Island, along the old Blackstone Canal. Yeah, it's got a whole other history. Yeah, yeah, there's a whole...
Great. I will go there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome...
Maybe you will remind me of Amsterdam.
Yeah. Oh, I doubt it.
Who knows?
We'll see. Simon, I'm so glad you're going to be coming on board. This sounds absolutely fantastic. I'm excited for you to come here and to work at the museum. And I hope this is the beginning of several conversations that we'll have throughout the years.
Well, Mark, thank you very much. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
And my guest tonight, Simon Morsink, now the new executive director of the Museum of Russian Icons here in Clinton, Massachusetts. We all want to welcome him here to Central Massachusetts. Simon, it's been a pleasure. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.